Good morning, everybody. A little update on our building. Last week, we knew that the insurance company was going to have a big meeting, and they were kind of balking on how much they were going to pay. The total damage, I don't know if you've walked through the building, but the little fire that we had caused almost $400,000 of damage. And so they had their meeting. They finally got back to Belinda, and they said that we still have a discrepancy that they haven't quite gone over yet, and it has to do with the carpet, but they are going to pay all of it. So that is, I tell you what, you mess with God, you're going to get the horns. I don't think that's how that saying goes, but close enough. But there is a $35,000 discrepancy that they're going over with Bell 4. They're saying that how could this $35,000, how could it take that much to put carpet in? Because they replace like for like is what they call it. So if you had a certain grade of carpet, they'll replace it with that grade of carpet. But it's hard to find 1952 carpet. So that's kind of where the discrepancy is. But you know what? God is good. He is has been with us through the entire process. He's shown his hand. I mean, he's not a God to be reckoned with. And you know what? That insurance company, they weren't fighting against New Hope. They're fighting against God. So you want to take that on? More power to you, but you're going to lose every time. So that is the update on the building. Like Dave said, we probably will not be into our building until the first of the year. It is quite an undertaking that's going on. If you're driving by the church and you see a bunch of people in there, stop in, take a look. It is amazing, but we are going to have basically a brand new church. So, and you know, we have, yes, it's awesome. It is awesome. And then we've had to come up with an extra $22,000 to upgrade the electrical in the sanctuary, in the kitchen, and then the downstairs. There's two panels there, and the electricians basically went in and gutted them out. That is going to be on our dime. But you know what? We've been diligent, and we have that money in the bank, so that's taken care of. So thank you. As you continue to give, God has just blessed us. I believe that we are good stewards with what he has blessed us with, and he honors that. So I just give all the praise to God. I'm going to give you a little update on Belinda's father. She is in Everett right now. Her father was supposed to go into a emergency triple bypass surgery. He had 100% blockage in two of the valves and 70% in the third one. And so they didn't do it yesterday. They're scheduling it for today, but my guess is they're probably going to do it tomorrow when the cardiac unit is fully stocked with all hands on deck. So continue your prayers for him and for her and the family. And I've been teaching and talking about choosing to be grateful, and there are a lot of things that we just take for granted. And I have taken my wife for granted, and all of the things that she does, it's amazing, because I had to do it all today, and I didn't like it. I'm going through all of the stuff. I make the coffee in the morning. I make the hot water. She does the hot water. She'll plug the big coffee pot in for me, and then I get up and I do all the coffee. And I'm looking through, and there's only 30 cups. And I thought, Belinda, what are you doing? There's supposed to be more than 30 cups in here. And then I realized, you know what? What if she wasn't around? And I thought, I'd have to do all of this? I'd go crazy. I would absolutely go crazy. So I'm going to tell you, ladies, next week you get a three-day weekend. Just leave. Just up, go, say goodbye. I'll see you on Monday. And I guarantee you, your husband's will appreciate you way, way more than they do. I see the guys going, and I thought I'd get a little bit more out of the women, but since I did not, I'm retracting that statement. You got to stay home with the kids. So, just saying. Indeed. No, but I do. I realize how much she does. And if you've seen her in action with all of the contractors and the insurance people and this and that, you can appreciate. It's hard to believe that God can stack dynamite in a little 5-3 frame. But I'll tell you what. They've met their match when they come up against Belinda, and she's representing God. I mean, do not want to mess with that girl. It's not a good idea. So she's in Everett with dealing with family issues, and we are going to continue our message on Proverbs, part 10. Last week, we talked about haughty eyes. And before we get into that, a little background of what Proverbs is. In the Hebrew, the word is mashal, and it means sentences of ethical wisdom. Proverbs 1, verses 1 and 2 says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, and doing what is right and just and fair." These are things that we can learn on how to live our lives out justly, rightly, and fairly. That is what God wants from us. It says there's two commandments. The greatest, love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And Jesus said, and the second is almost as great, love your neighbor as yourself. That's what these are, teaching you how to live prudently, doing what is right and just and fair, according to his word, according to his commands, and according to his decrees. So that is what these are all about. So we were in Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. It says, "There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked scheme, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community." And we looked last week at the first one in there, and it is haughty eyes. And we looked in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 10 through 14. It says, "When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." They were to be thankful for everything that God gave them. We are to be thankful for every blessing that we receive on a daily basis. And if we don't continue to be thankful, we become ungrateful. We become proud in our own minds, in our eyes, which it says is haughty eyes, and in our hearts. And we become a bunch of spoiled brats. I don't know if you've ever spent time, and I know none of your kids are spoiled brats, but if you've ever spent time around little spoiled brats, oh mama, it is difficult. It is very difficult. But sometimes we do that with God. See, he says that we're his children. But sometimes when we begin to take things for granted, when we begin to focus on me, I, this is what I want, God, that's not fair, we become those spoiled brats. And we become proudful. And God hates that. Proverbs 21:4 says, "Haughty eyes and a proud heart, the unplowed field of the wicked produce sin." And we talked about that last week. So we're going to move on to the next verse. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. We are to see ourselves as God sees us. Precious in his sight, but with, according to this, sober judgment. Have you ever been around people who, when they drink a little too much, they begin to think of themselves a little too highly? They get a little arrogant, 10 feet tall and bulletproof. That's why he says, look at yourselves with sober judgment, through the right eyes, not through clouded lenses, not through a clouded mindset, but soberly. And when we do that, we see ourselves through his eyes and we realize that everything that we are, everything that we do, everything that we have is because of him. It drives me crazy when I watch football and you see these guys who are incredibly gifted, incredibly talented, and those gifts and talents that they have are from God. They're God-given. A guy that runs a 4.3 40, you can't practice that. You can either do it or you can't do it. And it's because of a talent that God has given you. But when you begin to take on all the accolades and you begin to think and get puffed up because you're so great because you can run so fast and you fail to give God his rightly dues, that's why I love athletes who say, you know what, I thank God first and foremost. And it, you know what really I love about that? It really ticks off the world. You can see one of the reporters' faces when they start with, first of all, I'd like to thank God for the talents he's given me. It's like, oh, here we go. One of those Jesus people. I love that. It irritates them. And I think it's great because half of what comes out of their mouth irritates me. So I think it's fair. But it says, think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Do you realize that this verse actually says our level of faith is directly related to how much pride we have in our hearts? Did you hear that? It says in accordance. Think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. That verse says the more pride you have in yourself, the less faith you have. Increased faith in God is a realization of who really should get the credit in our lives. So arrogance is something that, according to this proverb, God hates. Why? Because then we get bigger in our own eyes and he gets lesser. We get more grandiose and he shrinks more and more. And God hates that. Why? Because it severs our relationship with him. He says in this other in this verse here, 16 through 19, he says, I hate these things. He says that when you are fed and you receive all of these things, don't forget God. Don't forget where the source is. And like we talked about last week, that's what happens. In the Old Testament, we had the Israelites doing well, blessed by God, fat and happy. Then they became a little bit arrogant. You know what? We really don't need God. They begin to forget who he is in their relationship with him. I can do this on my own. I'm just fine. In fact, I'm awesome. And then they get into trouble because they've turned their back on God. God releases his hand of protection from them. They end up enslaved. Somewhere that God did not want them to go. Somewhere that God back here says, remember, do not turn to different idols. Remember, do not forget the Lord your God who has delivered you. Do not do these things. And what do? They end up doing those things. And God says, fine, you want to do those? Here are the consequences. And then they're enslaved, and then they begin to cry out to God. They pay the penalty, and God delivers them. And everything is hunky-dory again. Thank you, God. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you, this. Thank you, God. We will not forget you. Oh, I'm kind of more awesome than God is, and I know better about my own life than God does, and I think I'm going to make my, oh, crud. How did I get here? And what's really funny is the people that I know that have been here, and I've been here too. What's the first thing they do? Blame God. It's hilarious. Well, didn't God tell you in his word not to go down that road? Yeah, but I like that road. That's a fun road. Well, I don't think God really meant it that way. Yeah, he did. Does it mean he doesn't love you anymore? Absolutely not. Does it mean you're going to have to pay the penalty and suffer the consequences? Yes, it does. But when we cry out to him, he hears. When we seek him with a repentant heart, he hears. He does not hear according to the scriptures. He does not hear the prayers of someone who is harboring sin in their heart. It's in the scriptures. Look it up. He does not hear it. But when we cry out to him with a truly repentant heart, he hears those prayers. And he answers those prayers and delivers us so that we can be reconciled with him in our relationships with him. So he hates haughty eyes. It's getting louder. Seriously? Woohoo! I had to do that. All right. Let's see. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 through 5. It says, people will be lovers of themselves. This is this scripture, or this paragraph right here, sounds so much like right now. It sounds so much. You could say, people will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. Does that not sound like America? Here's the thing. This last part, having a form of godliness but denying its power, he's talking about the church. He ain't talking about the world. If you can turn on whatever news channel you want. I don't care which bent, which side, whatever. You turn on a newscast, you will see every one of these things. In a half hour. Lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. But then he says, having a form of godliness. Having a form of, it kind of looks godly. Kind of looks like religion, kind of looks like the church. But he says these things are happening in his church. How can that be? You know why people that don't regularly attend a service on a Sunday call people that do hypocrites? Because there are a lot of hypocrites. A lot. And we are called as followers of Jesus Christ to be different. Do you realize it's not your job to judge the world or anything in it? I have people come to me, well, did you see on the news, blah, 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 and they just get all up in arms about this and that and this and that in the world. And I say, what do you expect? It's the world. That's what the world does. Why is this so shocking to you? But when you see it in God's house and in the church, that's, I don't see people getting upset about that. Well, you know, that's just what they believe. That's their doctrine. That's this. It's like, no. These things should not be a part of God's family. And one of them is proud. It was the fourth one listed. There should not be pride. There should not be boastfulness. It says that we are to be different. Romans 12:2. You don't have it, Dave. Do not be conformed any longer to this world. What does that mean? Stop living the way you used to live. People should be able to tell that you are a Christian by what they see, by your actions, by how you treat other people. They should see the love of God through that. Not necessarily by your words. They should see it in our actions. They should see us being different than the world around us. The world around us that is full of abusiveness. Lovers of themselves. Because when we think of ourselves with sober judgment, we see other people in a different light. It's not so much about us anymore. And that is natural. That is absolutely natural. Because we're selfish. I don't care who you are, we're selfish. I like to do what Jim likes to do. And when someone tells me that I shouldn't be doing that, that makes me angry. There are times when I read the scriptures and I have a hard time with it. But God, you don't understand. This person's an idiot. And that's usually when God takes a spiritual 2x4, hits me up alongside the head and says, oh yeah, kind of like the way that you were to that person. Or kind of like the way you were when you were growing up. And then I kind of go, oh. He takes that big old mirror and then he flips it around in my face. And all I can see is me. And he lets me see me for who I really am. Without him, without his grace, without his mercy. And it is not pretty. It is not a pretty picture. But then he takes it away and he lets me see me through his eyes. Because of the love that he has for me. He said, I sent my son to die for you when you were still in your sins. It's a piece of cake to do something nice for someone you like. How difficult is it to do something you don't want to do for someone you don't like? But that's Jesus. That is Jesus. He says, I modeled what I want you to pass on. Pass these things on to the next group. And they've been passed down to us. And I think by the time it's reached us 2,000 years later, it's been so watered down by so many different churches that it has a form of godliness but denies its power. I want to be one of those churches that actually lives out what they proclaim to believe. Loving God and loving other people. And sometimes that's loving them enough to say, you know what, I don't agree with you. I still want to get a bumper sticker made up that says, disagreement is not equal to hate. I can disagree with you without hating you. But according to the news, according to both political parties, I can't. No, that's hate speech. You disagree. Well, yes, I do disagree. I don't agree with certain things that you're bringing up, but that doesn't mean that I hate you. As Christians, we need to be able to disagree respectfully. You are still called to honor and love that person you disagree with. And one of the reasons I'm not on social media is because of what I hear about people that bring their social media to me. Did you see what so-and-so said on Facebook? No, I didn't, because I don't have an account. I don't care. I have way too much problem trying to love the person next to me on I-90. I don't need to go searching this stuff out. Seriously. I can barely handle that. Why would I go on and want to listen to a bunch of people getting into politics or gun control or this or that? No matter what side you're on, it's usually name-calling and disrespect. And then I see the Christian responding the same way. Where's the difference? Where is the difference? You know how I have diffused a lot of arguments with people who I disagree with? By treating them nicely. Because some people just want to fight. They just want to push your buttons. And they want you to react, and they want you to say things in a way that you shouldn't be saying them. And then they'll go, oh, well, I thought you were a Christian. I just treat them nice, and it drives them crazy. When I have someone cut me off in traffic, I don't tell them they're number one, because that's what they want. I don't. I clap and smile. Nice job. You did a great job. And it's sarcasm. Just be honest. It's sarcastic. But it makes them ballistic. They don't know how to handle it. It's like, well, wait a minute. But I do. I did something wrong in traffic one time, and I turned around, and this lady was like, la, 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 and I went, sorry. And she just went, Doot. She was not ready for someone to be sorry for what they have done. But that's treating her with respect and treating her with honor. That's the second greatest commandment that Jesus gave us, that God gave us. And if we can't do those two things, what makes you think you can do the other eight commandments and keep those? Because it says, Jesus goes on to say, all of the laws and all of the prophets hang on these two commandments. Not just the one commandment of loving God. It is the most important. You can't take number two and make it number one. Number one is number one for a reason. But then the second one, Jesus says, is almost as important as the first one. And the rest of them hang off of those two. We need to work on number one and number two. This sounds weird. But we do. I work in the medical field. It's like, okay, let's not go down that road. But it is true. We need to work on those things. Loving God first and foremost. Allowing Him to guide us. To tell us what to say and when to keep our mouth shut. The people that drive me crazy are the ones that have to say something about everything. Well, I need to tell you. No. How about you think about it first, and then we'll talk? Because some people just comes out of their mouth. Into their head, no filter, shoom, right out their tongue. And I've done that. But are we honoring people? Are we honoring God in everything we do, everywhere we go? We are to honor God. It does my heart good when I walk through the halls at the hospitals when I'm delivering body parts. And someone smiles and says hello. I do it to everybody. I want to be known as the person who says hello. I want to be known as the person who walks through there and people look forward to seeing because they get a little dose of kindness in their life. And I've told you before that I ask God to bless those people who simply smile back and say hello. I do. I walk past them, and if they've smiled and they've made my day better, I walk past them and I go, Lord, I want you to bless that person. I don't know how. Don't care. But Lord, I ask that you would bless them simply for their kindness. And when I walk past a grump and I smile and I say hello, and they give me the you know, that's all you got. You can't continue with a little bit higher. I think it's sad that your face is broken. But I ask God, I walk by and I go, sorry, no blessing for you. And I'm wondering how many people are not receiving blessings during the day simply because they refuse to share a smile with someone. How sad is that? I think it's going to be awesome when people get to heaven and God, and they stand before God and they say, God, you never blessed me. And he says, you know what? I sent a guy into Kootenai Medical Center every weekday, and you missed out on 1,050 blessings that I couldn't give out because my servant did not ask me to. And you missed out on all those blessings. I want to be there. Really? It's a simple thing. Just smile. Just be kind to someone. That's what these proverbs are about. Living rightly, living justly, living fairly. Sharing a little bit of God's love with people in the smallest way. I've had so many people come to me and it's like, Jim, I don't know the scriptures well enough to really share God's love. I just don't know. I'm going to study more, but I just don't know. Smile. Be kind. I smile at all of the garbage people, all the janitors in the hospitals. I smile at the people who clean out the colonoscopy tubes. Now, it's not a fun job. And I when I go in there, because I have to drop off the instruments in decontam and sterilization, and they're in their little rubber hazmat outfits or whatever, and they're cleaning these tubes out. And they're the ones that are always getting yelled at. If you're not a doctor, you're getting yelled at by somebody. There is a pecking order in the medical field. And it's it's actually the CEO of the hospital. Then it's doctors, then it's scrub techs, then it's charge nurses, then it's RNs, then it's all the way down to the janitors and the people who clean the poop tubes. And when I walk in there and smile and say, hey, how you doing today? It I hope makes their day, because they all treat me very well. Why? Because I'm kind. I just say hello. I acknowledge them. There was one gal, she was doing, they were having a lot of run on colonoscopies because there was a stack of tubes sitting there that she was supposed to clean. And she had a couple of them in the thing, and she had her face guard on and everything. And I said, hey, Robin, how are you? And she looks up, she turns around, she got this big smile, and she holds up these two nasty tubes and goes, 2 for 1 today. I went, yuck. But you know what? It just a smile, a hello, can make somebody's day. And it's simple to do. Well, Jim, that's just not my personality. Well, then your personality sucks. You need to work on that. Because Jesus was kind enough to stop and talk to a Samaritan woman at a well, who was gathering water at noon, where you did not gather water at noon. You did it in the cool of the morning, or you did it in the cool of the evening. You didn't do it at noon. She was doing it at noon because she had been outcast by everybody else in society. Because she had five husbands or four husbands before that, and the one she was with was not even her husband. So she was an outcast to the point where she had to go get water in the heat of the day. And even when the disciples came back, they said, "Why would you talk to that woman? You realize she's a Samaritan?" Jesus was modeling to his disciples how important everybody is. All the way down to the colonoscopy cleaner. But it's simple. It's the opposite of being haughty, of being prideful. I'll tell you what, some of the most arrogant people I've ever met, I met in church. And that is wrong. When everything is about them, everything is about the image. I'll tell you what, they're receiving their reward here on earth. They may get into heaven, like the verse says, with their backside on fire, just barely escaping the flames. But their reward, for the most part, is here on earth. We are to not have a proudful heart. We are not to have haughty eyes. Why? Because God says, I detest, I abhor, I hate proudful, haughty eyes and a proud heart. And that takes us back to those two commandments. Because the proudful person does not praise God. A proudful person doesn't need God, according to their own thinking. And a proudful person is not kind to the person next to them in the grocery store. A proudful person wants to make sure that they're always first. A proudful person is the one who cuts in line. A proudful person is the person who goes to the front of the line in traffic when it says everybody get over to the left lane because the right lane is closed and there's a quarter mile of backup. I better never, ever see any of you racing to the front of the line, because it slows down the line for everybody. And I won't let you in. Not going to happen. But if you're truly needing to get in, I am one of the most patient. I'm actually a very courteous driver. It's other people that are stupid. So just remember that. If I ever see you on I-90. But no, we are to be kind. We're not to have prideful eyes. We're going to have Angela and the team come up. And you know what? There are going to be days when you blow it. You're not having a good day. You take it out on everybody else. Just be the person that can say, "I'm sorry." You want to blow somebody's mind? Be mean to them, say something nasty to them, and then 10 minutes later, after you think about it and after the Holy Spirit convicts you of your wrongful doing, go back to that person and apologize. You want to blow their mind? Ask them for forgiveness. Say you're sorry. How often does that happen? Hardly ever in our society. Am I right? No, usually it ends up in road rage. But a simple, "I'm sorry," admitting that you're wrong, having a repentant heart, shows God's love. Does it not? It shows the love of God. Does it mean that we're not going to screw up? Absolutely not. Does it mean you're going to be perfect? Absolutely not. But on a daily basis, we should progress. We should grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that should come out in our actions, and it should come out of our mouth. We are to be disciples. We are to be followers of Jesus Christ. And we are to model what he modeled to his disciples. And he modeled love, no matter who the people were. You know who he got ticked off at the most? Religious people. And I figure if I'm not ticking off a few religious people here and there, then I'm not being like Jesus. Don't tick off the world. Tick off a religious person. Put that on your bumper sticker as well. Amen? Please stand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you that you send your Holy Spirit to counsel us, to train us up, to guide us, to give us wisdom, so that we can walk in your ways, so that we can love you, and so that we can love others. Lord, I pray that we would take these things to heart, that there would be nothing in us that your word says that you hate and find detestable. Lord, I just pray that you would watch over us, keep us, and guide us. And thank you for your word, and help us to be not only hearers, but doers, so that we can show your love on a daily basis. And everybody said, amen. You're dismissed. Have a great week.